Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path Church. I am excited to be with you here today. We have been working with one another, journeying with one another in our series, Experiencing God. And truly, it has been a journey. Well, we're going to continue today talking about the seven realities of experiencing God. So how about we go ahead and pray and we will jump right in. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for this opportunity to worship you, to fellowship with you, God, just to be in your presence. Father, we are thankful for the heart of the men and women that are coming together to be the body of Christ. Father, to experience you in a whole different way. We pray, God, that the message today will land on our hearts in a way that will move us to partner with you to heal your world. In your holy son's name I pray, amen. So a couple weeks ago, we were on spring break, and Grant and I decided to go fishing for the very first time. And Grant was an extremely quick study. This brother knew how to put the worm on the hook. He learned how to throw the rod and reel, and he was getting distance, y'all. And Grant said, "Daddy, I'm going to catch my first fish." I said, "Well, hey, man, I'm here to help you. I'll hang out with you." And it started to get hot. I said, "Grant, we've been out here for about an hour, brother. I'm going to go on inside." "But Dad, I haven't caught my first fish yet." I said, "Well, I don't think you're going to catch much because this is not the right timing for fishing. And we're not in the right place. We're fishing off of a dock and there's no underbrush or nothing like that." And so I go inside. I go to lay down. I'm sleeping. 4 hours later, Grant comes back to me, shows me a picture and says, "Dad, believe it or not, I caught my first fish." And there was my son with his first fish hooked by himself. And I had entered a crisis of belief. I did not have faith that Grant was going to catch a fish that day, but he did. When you look at what a crisis of belief is, it is the moment in time where we know that God is putting something on our hearts. And we have to come to a point of decision. Are we going to go or no go? We have talked about the seven realities of experiencing God. And up to this point, the ones we've talked about are crucial. But the crisis of belief is a pivotal one. It's the moment where we say, go or no go. It's the moment where we say, fish or cut bait. It's the moment where we say, hey, are we going to run the play or sit on the sideline? And you know, a lot of us can want to just cut bait. We can just want to say, God, there's no way that you can do this. God, there's no way that you can offer forgiveness to my spouse. God, there's no way that the assignment that you're putting on my heart, that I can accomplish all of that. God, there's no way that you can overcome the depression and the anxiety that I am feeling right now. There's no way that our children will come back to their senses. And sometimes we cut bait on God, even when it comes to following Jesus. But God says, believe it or not, yes, I can. I can do all of those things. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we see this play out in a story about some other fishermen over in Luke chapter 5. Turn over to Luke chapter 5 with me. You know, as you look at the occupation of being a fisherman in the first century, these particular men, they were not very influential. They were not very attractive. They didn't have a lot of power in the community. They weren't the Pharisees, right? You know, these weren't the super religious individuals. So as you know, some people would think that the Pharisees were the only ones that could really experience God. But Jesus walked up on these fishermen in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, one left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to push out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your net for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have not caught anything. But because you said so, I will let down the nets." So what we have going on here is this group of fishermen have just finished up their night's worth of work, fishing all night. And Jesus has come upon them first thing in the morning. And when you finish the days or the night's worth of fishing, you take your nets and you have to wash them down and get them prepared for the next night's work. Now, there were two different types of net for fishing. There were the nighttime nets, which the text refers to here. These are the large trammel nets. These nets were invisible to fish at night, and it also required a large crew of men to be able to work the nets. There were daytime nets, which were casting nets. And these were nets that an individual could throw out by themselves and be able to manage. And so as Jesus walks upon Peter, I like to call this the three phases of crisis of belief. First, Jesus walks up onto Peter and says, "Peter, can you push out a little shallow into the water? I need to use your boat as a platform." Peter is like, "Jesus, come on, man. Do you know what I had to go through to get all this gear stored and get this boat squared away?" You see, y'all, I was very familiar with this text because I grew up on fishing. And after you've been out all day long, see, when you go fishing, you don't want to be out there in the middle of the day. So my dad used to get us up at 4:30 in the morning, get all the stuff ready so that we can be on the water by 5:30, so you can get to fishing and have about 6 or 7 hours before that sun start coming in on you. And that was one of the reasons why the fishermen here in the first century worked at night, because of the heat. And so if you're asking somebody after they fished all day long to take the boat back out, that is a huge chore. I can imagine after we've racked the boat, you need somebody to drive the boat onto the trailer. You need somebody to back the trailer down into the water. You got to hook it up. You're getting all wet. You got to crank the boat up on the trailer and then pull it out of the water. It is a chore. And if somebody were to come up to us and say, "Hey, can you take the boat off the rack and just run me across the water there to get me a sandwich?" Man, my dad and I would be like, no. You either going to fish or you're going to swim across the lake, or you're going to take your boat and drive the truck across there. You're going to take your truck and drive across there. I'm not taking this boat off this rack. And that's what Jesus was asking Peter to do. Phase two was Jesus said, "You know what? That's not even why I really am here, Peter. I need you to push out even further into the deep water." At this point, Peter's like, "Hold on, Jesus. Not only am I tired, okay, I've been up all night fishing. I'm also hungry because it's first thing in the morning and I want breakfast. I'm also irritated because I haven't caught anything. And now you're talking about going back out there and dropping the wrong equipment." You see, Jesus was asking Peter to use the big trammel nets, the nighttime nets. Well, it's daytime. You're not supposed to use nighttime nets for daytime fishing. So Peter's like, "Jesus, you also don't know what you're doing. I know what's best. I'm the professional." Haven't y'all heard those words before? "I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm irritated. I know what's best." I know I have, because it usually comes in the face of reluctant faith. You see, Peter was reluctant in what Jesus was asking. He did not really believe that there was going to be a catch of fish. But Peter said, "You know what? Because you're master," and master here in the first century in the Greek means authority, "because you have authority, Jesus, I'm gonna do it. You know, it's that thing that when somebody presents that idea to you, you really don't have faith that it's gonna happen, but because you don't wanna look unspiritual, you said, all right, I'll go and do it. But in your heart, you know you don't think it's going to happen. That's reluctant faith. You see, Peter could not see the dots connecting. But what God was telling Peter was, believe it or not, Peter, you're going to catch fish. And that's the title of the message today, Believe It or Not. God is going to do it. And he's telling Peter, you can come with me and be a part of this or not. You see, if we can see how the dots are connected, then that doesn't require any faith. When God is working and he has put something on our hearts, we may not ever see the dots connected. And Peter could not see the dots that were being connected, what was what getting ready to happen. We pick it up in verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." And for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, the experience that Peter had here with Jesus is phenomenal. He experienced God like never before when he saw that miracle of all that fish coming in. And that experiencing of God caused Peter to come to confession. I believe Peter was probably confessing his lack of faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when we come into the experience of God, his power, his majesty, his holiness, it brings us to confession. And that is a prerequisite for following Jesus. When you look at the other people in this story, you know, I think God is working so much. It's not so much about Peter as much as God wants other people to experience him as well. Jesus was a G. You remember when Angel used to say that? Jesus was a G. He knew what he was doing. He says, "No, I don't want to use casting nets just because it's daytime fishing. I need to use the large trammel nets. So Peter, I need you to drop these nets so that not only you can experience me, but your men and your crew can experience me, and so much more that the other men in the other boat, James and John, they will be able to experience my power and my majesty as well." Brothers and sisters, the way that people experience God is through our faith. This is from the author in the book we're reading. He says, "What our world often witnesses today is a devoted, committed Christian or church serving God, but they are not seeing God. When people see something happen that only God can do, they come to know God." You know, we often will not attempt amazing and crazy things. Those are the things that people will see and be like, there's no other way that that could have happened except for God. They see us just showing up on Sunday or showing up on Wednesday or even reading our Bible. Hey, those things are critical and important. But when people can look at that, they'll be like, oh, that guy's just determined. Oh, he just got good work ethic. But when we go out and we attempt something amazing, something that only God can do, That will attract people to God. And the final crisis, the final phase of belief for Peter was to push out all the way. First, Jesus asked him to go to shallow water. Then Jesus says, go to deep water. Then Jesus says, go all in. And that's when he asked Peter to follow him and become a fisher of men. You know, the Greek there actually is just not fishing, it's actually catching people alive. So just like Jesus gave the command, he also gave a promise. Put out your nets and for a catch. Jesus tells us the same thing. When you follow me, you will catch people. Man, that's so exciting. That just brings hope into a purpose for my life. Do you think that these men could have healed the 5,000 on their own? I mean, fed the 5,000 on their own. Do you think that these men could have healed the sick, healed the lame, calmed the storm? No, they couldn't do that. They needed God. They needed Jesus. And through that experience, that built the disciples' faith. And in building their faith, then they were able to bring other people along with them to experience God, as we know in Acts, the book of Acts, where they start the first church. So when you look at these disciples, it really shows that what they did shows what they believed about God. And that's the major point today. What we do shows what we believe about God. Amen. When God is telling us what's on our hearts, when he gives us that amazing assignment, it's going to be something that only he can do. And what we believe about God will lead to what we do in our actions, believe it or not. And I think this is where people really struggle. People struggle in the fact that because they don't see the dots and they can't, you know, we love to say, I need to see what it looks like. I need to see the practical. That means we're just trying to get the dots to connect. And sometimes the dots won't connect. And if we don't see those dots connecting, then what happens is that amazing assignment, that God-sized assignment that's on our heart, then we will rationalize it away. We'll justify it away. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. No way that can happen. And then we keep it inside. We don't share it with anybody. And we keep it in the dark, exactly where Satan wants it to stay. The problem is self. We put ourselves in the middle of the equation. You see, we think that in order for this to happen, we have to do it under our own power. Or we have to rely on our current resources. We'll be like, I don't have time, or I don't have bandwidth. I don't have capacity. You know, that's the new thing now. Hey, brother, I don't have capacity to be doing all that. God will provide the capacity. I don't have the current resources or the finances. God will provide the money. He will provide the space. God will provide, will provide, will provide. So write this one down, write this one down. Without faith, we cannot please God. It's impossible. And when you look at Peter, Peter finally developed great faith through all the different crises of belief. You know, brothers and sisters, we just won't have one crisis of belief. As we journey with Jesus, we'll have multiple crises of belief. God is doing that so that we can experience him and build our faith muscle. And Peter had developed his faith muscle that ultimately led him to a big catch and the biggest catch of all, which was winning the world. You know, I want to tell y'all about our vaccine drive. The story that started that is absolutely amazing. We were getting ready for medical week. And we got the team together, and I'm going to be quite honest with y'all. I was like, guys, let's just chalk this one up to COVID. Let 2021 just go on. We're going to regroup and get ready for 2022. That is one of the options. We're just not going to do anything. But the brothers and sisters were like, no, we can at least do a virtual. I was like, amen, praise God. Y'all are breathing faith into my life. So we were talking through all the particulars, and once the meeting was over, I got a call from Jonathan and Tay. Jonathan and Tay Robinson, one of our amazing servant small group leaders here. And Tay was the chairperson, one of the co-chairpersons for Medical Week. And she said, "Jackson, I got something crazy. I didn't want to share it in the group because I thought it was too crazy and everybody would shoot it down." She said, "What would it be like for us to finish off Medical Week and have a vaccine drive, giving vaccines in the church parking lot?" In my brain, y'all, quite honestly, I said, this woman has lost her mind. There is no way we're going to have time to mobilize to get a vaccine. I mean, it's federal regulated, state regulated. We don't have access to it. But I told Tay, I said, "Tay, we need people like you to have faith." I said, "Let's go for it." And at that point in time, I had reluctant faith. I said, "I'm going to go along with this, but it ain't going to happen." I said, "We need to get Plan B together. We need to get some pamphlets. We need to get some information flyers so we can just be out there and pass out information." But what God told me was, "Jackson, my son, believe it or not, I'm going to do a vaccine drive in that church parking lot. You can either be a part of it or not." Man, my faith was built. So we did our part. We had active faith. We said, okay, we're going to tap our networks. We're going to ask the people we can ask. And everybody was like, "That ain't going to happen. We'll put you on the list. We don't know when it's going to happen." And y'all, we saw God coming through. Roland Alexander, our board president, had a contact. Tito's Lounge. They were giving vaccines at Tito's Lounge. I'm like, "Look here, guys. We can't be having some kind of lounge type of vaccine. I mean, this is medical science. We got to make sure we're clean and protected." So everybody was giving Tito's Lounge a tough time. But it come to find out that the connect was Brian at Premier Drugstore. We reached out to Brian and Brian said, "I would love to partner with y'all, but I don't know if I'll have enough vaccine, enough supply to come in to meet this date." And we kept praying and we kept praying. And Brian said, "I'll let you know on Monday or Tuesday." Going into the week, he let us know, "Hey guys, I got 250 vaccine. I got access to get another 150. So that's 400. Hey, I want to bring 500 vaccines." We were like, "Whoa, this brother got more faith than we got. This is amazing." And that same week, the federal government opened up for anyone age 16 and 18, depending on which vaccine you got, everybody was able to have access to the vaccine if they wanted it. How we could have planned that, no possible way. But God set it up for us to have a vaccine drive in the church parking lot on the 1st of April. We had over 100 people be vaccinated. We just had our second vaccine drive this past Saturday. We had over 85 people there. And God's not finished, brothers and sisters. There's a group that we're partnering with called the Westside Health Collaborative. And this is a community-based organization that's trying to revitalize the healthcare on the West Side where we meet. And there is a public health management consulting firm formerly known as the Mosaic Group. See how God is working that angle. And they say, "You know what, Path Church? We want to partner with y'all to write a grant from the CDC for $100,000. $100,000, y'all. So we just wrote this grant, submitted it, and we're going to get that grant. And the grant is for vaccine hesitancy. And we're going to vaccinate that whole community. We're going to have everybody come out. We are going to revolutionize the healthcare on the West Side, not only from a physical standpoint, but also spiritually, because we are experiencing God." Amen. It's so excited right now. I can jump out of my little loafers, man. I see God moving. Tasha and I and the Robinsons, we knew that the only way that this was going to work was to have faith. This was the type of faith that God wanted because it was something only God could do. Write this one down. Whenever God involves you in his activity, His assignment will be God-sized for a God impact with God dimensions. You see, Peter could not connect those dots. There's no way that he would have thought that he was going to catch fish that would fill up two boats. There's no way that Peter would think that he would be the one leading the charge to be able to win the world and start a whole new movement. Sometimes we sell ourselves short. We don't think we have enough training. We don't think we have enough capacity. But what God says is, as long as you are following me and allow me to work, there is nothing that is impossible for me. So brothers and sisters, what I encourage you to do is when God puts that God-sized assignment on your heart, just don't look at what it possibly can be right then and there. Think about what it can be 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Let's give God an opportunity to work. For example, their brothers and sisters right now, where God is calling them to be a volunteer team coordinator, calling them to be a small group leader, calling them to be the next point person for a planning event, marriage event, or singles event, or the next community-based outreach project. But we are stuck in a crisis of belief because we don't think we have the resources and the training and the talent right then and there to take it on. Maybe some of us are in a crisis of belief to even follow Jesus right now. I encourage you to reach out to the individual that invited you to watch this message and spend some time in God's word and get that hope that God can take care of whatever you think he can. Maybe some of us are in a crisis of belief because we just became Christians and it is tough. We don't even know why we made the decision. This last year has just been just terrible. I want to give you hope. I want to breathe hope into you right now. Let me ask you this question. What do you know God has called you to do, but you are not doing it? Are you hesitating? If so, why? The hope that I want to give you right now is fill in this blank. The God that is calling me will blank. If you fill in that blank, that is your why of your crisis of belief. It may be fear. God will take care of the fear. It may be lack of training. God will give you the training. It may be you don't want to forgive somebody because y'all had a falling out. God will give you the conflict resolution skills. The God that calls you will overcome anything that you think you may have going on. When I look at what God is doing, every time I get that anxiety of I can't do it, God says, believe it or not, Jackson, I'm going to do this. Are you going to be with me or not? Here's your homework for today. Your homework is to write a prayer to God, asking him to increase your faith so that you can go with him. Ask him to build your faith to the point that you can say, send me, God. In Isaiah chapter 6, it's an amazing, really analogous section of what Peter went through. Isaiah sees the holiness of God and says, holy, 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 Lord Almighty. And the cold touches Isaiah's lips and he gets healed of his sin. And then God says, who are we going to send? Isaiah says, I'm here. Send me. Well, brothers and sisters, let's go. Repeat after me. Send me. Send me. What would it look like for us to get up every morning and tell God, send me? And then we go. At that point, we will be able to partner with God, believe it or not. You know, actually, the greatest crisis of belief that Peter actually went through was the cross. Peter just could not come to grips with what Jesus was trying to do, believe it or not. He couldn't see that Jesus was going to die. But after Peter spent 6 weeks with Jesus, after his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, Peter had a change of heart. Peter says, I'm going to go preach the first sermon. We're going to see more than 3,000 men and women be baptized and become disciples. At that point, their why was the cross, and our why is the cross. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this time. God, you have allowed us to experience you today. And Father, we pray that we continue to have those experiences and we work through our crisis of belief, God, because we know what your power is. We know what you're capable of. We just have to have some active faith. God, we are getting ready to move into our building and we're excited about what that holds. God, we are taking care of the needs of the community and all of that is because of you, God. Father, as we continue to experience you, allow us to redefine the things in our character that allows us to accept the invitation to work through the crisis of belief and says, send me, God, so that we can partner with you, Holy Father, to heal this world. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.